President Trump meets with his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping today at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. They're expected to discuss security and trade. Here was President Trump today on Fox News' Fox and Friends.
Well, it's going to be very interesting. Nobody really knows. We have not been treated fairly on trade for many, many years. No president's taken care of that the way they should have. And we have a big problem with North Korea. We're going to see what happens.
So the hope is to get them to bring leverage on the issue in North Korea.
Well, we're going to
see these are two strong-willed leaders. How much compromise can we expect? And speaking of which, there was none in the Senate today. The Democrats, as promised, filibustered the vote on Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch. And the Republicans, as promised, pulled the nuclear option, changing the rules to send the nomination on to a full vote. NPR White House correspondent Tamara Keith is here. Hi, Tam.
Hi.
So let's start with the meeting today. Chinese President Xi Jinping, known for having a very planned style, every event perfectly choreographed. Donald Trump, not so much. So how's that going to play out in this meeting?
Well, I guess that be ready, because President Trump is, as he said yesterday, he's a flexible guy. He can change and he can have a whim. Interestingly, though, today he has not yet tweeted. That might be a sign that he is, you know, heading into this meeting not wanting to mess anything up. And the reality is that there is no, according to White House officials, no set agenda for this. They didn't negotiate what they would talk about. Mm. And this is a meeting that is going to last less than 24 hours. This is the beginning of what is likely to be a 4 to 8 year conversation, depending on various elections.
Well, and it's being held at Mar-a-Lago, as we said. That's not new. Ronald Reagan hosted world leaders at his ranch. But what do you think Mar-a-Lago will do for this meeting that Washington doesn't?
Well, President Trump really wanted this meeting to be at Mar-a-Lago. They had to convince the Chinese delegation to do it there. And part of the reason is that the president simply feels more comfortable at Mar-a-Lago than he does at the White House. He is surrounded by people he knows. It is, you know, it is his home away from home. And so the idea is that they can have a more informal conversation. The other thing is that it doesn't have all of the pressure of a meeting in Washington at the White House, where if they didn't hold a press conference, that would be a really big story. Mm. Because typically a foreign leader comes in, they do a press conference where each leader takes two questions. In this case, they are not expected to have a press conference. They're not really expected to have any availabilities, just a few pool sprays where, photos can be taken of them sitting together or talking or walking.
Well, what about the language that preceded this? I mean, Donald Trump has called China's trade policy raping the U.S. How does he smooth that over? How does he make a change in what he sees as this huge imbalance?
Well, he has a lot of options. It's not clear that he plans to employ any of them in this meeting. Certainly, you can expect the president to talk about that trade imbalance. He probably won't use exactly those same words. There are lots of options that the president could use at some point, like tariffs or determining that China is a currency manipulator. But White House officials were sort of pushing back on the idea that any of that would really be pushed at this meeting.
Yeah. The president told the Financial Times it might be too early to talk about the huge tariff he wants to put on Chinese imports.
It's not a great way to, like, get to know you.
Right.
They're trying to build a relationship with this meeting.
Well, to the news in Washington today, just while we have you, Tam, as expected, Republicans in the Senate ended the Democratic filibuster of Neil Gorsuch's nomination by pulling that so-called nuclear option because no one has ever wanted to pull it. It changes the rules, which means the next Supreme Court nominee in that debate, the minority party, whoever it is, also won't have a filibuster possibility, which is seen as kind of a veto. This can't help but drive a deeper divide in the Senate. Are you hearing any regrets?
Oh, there are lots of regrets. Everyone is saying that they regret having to do this, but they all felt that they had to do it. And if it didn't happen with this nomination, assuming that President Trump were to get another nomination, it would have happened with that one. Democrats were under a lot of pressure from their base to take a stand here. They feel like Merrick Garland, President Obama's choice, was really treated badly, and that he should be on the Supreme Court right now. And their base has not forgotten that. Neither have those members. And Republicans feel like he should get a vote. He, you know, President Trump won. Elections have consequences. So this was a collision course that the Senate has been on. And now it happened.
The Democrats that we've spoken to have said they thought that that year-long delay on the Merrick Garland nomination was a filibuster. NPR White House correspondent Tamara Key, thanks as always.
You're welcome.